Welcome, everybody, to the IBN NBA podcast for the month of January. We are back. We gave it a couple weeks, and the NBA did not disappoint. We got drama, drama, drama. Wouldn't be the NBA without drama. I am your host, IBS Yeezus. I got with me my sometimes friend, Corey Carlton. We beefing right now. This NBA DFS thing is taking off to another level. I don't know. Sometimes it feels personal.
It is personal, bro. You had to talk.
Yo, last night, I'm still heated. You called it, too. You was like, I'm about to chase him down like LeBron. And when I looked, I was trying to calculate it in my head. And I was like, man, nah, I should be good, bro. Because I got Cantor and I got Melo. And then I freaking looked and Nurkic was starting. Doing these lineups with a three-year-old in the house is just not working, bro.
Especially with COVID, you never know what's going to happen last minute. But, yeah, I mean, I had the best player on the Blazers, so I knew it was
yeah.
good.
Yeah, so shout out to Carmelo for not being able to give me one bucket. One bucket is all
you're
I needed.
You're in touch, Brandon. So you didn't catch that slam, but I said I had the best player on the Blazers.
Yeah, I know. I caught it. I just ignored it because it's not true, you know. Not true. Stop disrespecting my man, yo. Not only did he have like 71 points in DFS last night, he was balling, bro. What more do you want from the dude? What more do you want? At least he's available. That's better than East Brick.
Look, man,
your
we
boy,
talk about that. He retired. He's a ceremonial figure.
Speaking of availability, where in the world is Kyrie Irving? It's literally the one thing everybody's talking about. I do like my favorite conspiracy theory is that Kyrie and the Nets planned this so he wouldn't be a trade value tool for the James Harden trade. They literally sabotaged his value by making him unavailable. That's my favorite conspiracy theory. But according to beat writers and New York media in general, this man Kyrie is ready to sit out the entire season. We don't even know why he's sitting out in the first place. He literally no-showed, no-called, and then he's in videos, I guess, with his sister at his sister's birthday. There's something about him hanging out with Drake. Now the NBA is investigating if he's kind of violated the COVID protocol. What's going on with Kyrie? What have you heard?
The Drake stuff, not true, but yeah, he was at his sister's birthday party. I mean, the thing is he hasn't said anything. Like, he's just not showing up to work, and the NBA's been way too cool about it. They need to start finding the dude. But I'll actually respect Kyrie if he sit out the whole season, actually, because he's been talking about, I'll walk away and I'll give it all up. Well, do it. If you're going to complain and you're upset that the way that the NBA is covered and you do not think it should be this dramatic, like soap opera style 24/7 media, that stuff is ultimately what got you your $200 million contract. So if you don't love that and that's detriment to your mental health and you're unhappy doing it, then you should walk away. I would respect that stance. What I don't respect is the cryptic tweets and the keep complaining and keep cashing the checks. You're willing to walk away for what you believe in? Cool. You always get my respect.
So I'm trying to be respectful because I never want to pick on people who might have like legitimate mental health issues. And we've had other NBA prominent NBA players like Kevin Love come out and talk about his battles with depression and things like that. So we know that is real. So I don't want to dismiss it. But with that being said, my man Kyrie has been going through some kind of like Badu transition. Like, I don't know what's going on with him. One minute he's like making Uncle Drew commercials and stuff, and the next minute he's like pro black, and then there's that little in between where he was like no black women or something like that. He was white women only or something, and he's burning sage, man, and meditating kumbaya. Then he just goes dark. I don't know what's going on anymore, man. Like the team, like you said, they were pretty nonchalant about it at first, and I don't know. I feel like Nash, that's kind of what he would be anyway, just because of his personality, even as a player. I don't foresee him, you know, trying to be tough guy coach, he comes back or else type thing. But even the, like, his of the organization, the GM, the owner, Kevin Durant, everybody's just kind of more or less have come out and said that, oh, yeah, we support Kyrie. But I'm wondering, when is the breaking point, man? Like, they made this trade. There are rumors that Kyrie didn't approve the trade, didn't like the trade, but they called him about the trade. He didn't answer the phone. And then there's also rumors that he's not happy with Steve Nash as the coach. But the guy was averaging 27 points a game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He was shooting over 50% in his, 6 to 7 games that he played. So what is there not to like? Like, what are you mad about?
Oh, man. I mean, the guy thinks the earth is flat. Like, you want me to get larger at 100?
It just doesn't make any sense, man.
He's not a logical guy. Like, it doesn't make sense. And, I mean, the NBA is going too far the other way when you don't find this guy. Like, how can you find James Harden for what he did and showing up? He just wanted to club in the offseason. Kyrie legitimately no-call, no-show.
Yeah, and
like,
and
how can you find Harden but not Kyrie as the NBA? That doesn't make sense to me.
And my thing is that, I mean, everybody's saying the right thing as far as the organization because his production, they really need him. Dinwiddie's out. They just traded LeVert, so they definitely need him, you know. But I'm just looking at some of these, like, rumors and things like that and just knowing what little bit I do know about Kyrie and his wonky personality. It's not looking good, man. And so they're saying, like, some people are saying, this is probably the most prominent rumor, is that he was sitting out because he was upset at the pro-Donald Trump rioters storming the U.S. Capitol. I don't know if I necessarily buy that. I think I personally thought it was more because of what happened to the Blake shooters, the cops.
Yeah.
Like
that,
yeah. I
that
thought
would
it was
sense.
More.
That would make way more sense.
Yeah, I thought it was more related to that. The NBA has tried to navigate this new social media, social campaigning landscape to the best of their ability, and they definitely do give more freedom for players to express themselves than other entities that we watch sports on. But it's kind of a double-edged sword here because you're going to run into a lot of people that the more they talk about it, the more they can't escape it when they play the game, the more likely it is to affect their personalities and moods, you know? And not everybody can be like Kevin Durant and basically say, you know, the guys in the locker room, we're focused on the game and we all come together and play basketball. You do have guys like Kyrie Irving that really bothers them. So I wonder if they're going to start trying to pull back some of that freedom.
No, I don't think they do that because that's what makes the league, and ultimately it's a star-driven league. So it's not like the NFL where it's security. Like, the stars are the guys. That's why they have the leverage, because the stars matter. Like, we're talking about a star like Steph Curry or LeBron James who literally changed the franchise value for $500,000. LeBron left Cleveland and went from a $1 billion franchise to a $500 million franchise. The Warriors were like a $900,000 franchise before Steph Curry. They get more revenue. They can move in a new arena. Now they're $2.5 billion. Like, we're literally talking about these dudes who work $500 million to billions of dollars for owners. So, no, they're not going to take any freedom away because there'll be some owner that's going to give it to them. And then you're just the owner that's not giving it to them, and they go to all the cool owners. It's not like that, though.
That is true. Kyrie's a hot mess. In other big news, the Nets did make a trade to get James Harden. He's a hot mess, though, really. And we could talk about the situation in Houston because we both are big Boogie fans, and I'm a John Wall supporter. I will say this. I'm very upset that my man Silas came into this situation with Westbrook and Harden. And within 2 months, he's got nothing to show for that.
That is
the worst.
It's messed up. And it's more messed up than they advocated for.
Yeah.
Than actually show you.
And to his credit, I mean, I think he handled it appropriately, you know. He was just like, you know, this is what coaches do. We have to make adjustments and move on. It is what it is at this point. But – I saw that Shaq had said something, and I'm pretty sure Shaq's on this high horse type crap. Look, man.
James Harden is supposed to be talking. He demanded it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He came
in
the camp fat all the time. At least Harden still balled. Like,
yeah.
Shaq would come in the camp fat and not ball until he got back in shape. But I don't want to hear from Shaq.
Yeah.
Harden ain't doing nothing Shaq ain't doing. And
I do feel like people are being a little too critical. I mean, everybody's got their breaking point, man. My man, he's been MVP. He's led the league in scoring multiple times. Like, the Rockets really didn't give him anything to compete with the best teams in the league. And ultimately, I think that's what pissed him off. And it's funny to me that people have spent, what, the last 4 to 5 years maybe talking about his competitive spirit and whether or not he wants it as bad as some of the other people and
mm-hmm.
all this and that. And then when he finally shows it in a way, it's still not enough. Like, now people are critical because they're like, he gave up on his team. What the hell, man? Make up your mind. I'm with Eric Gordon.
You know how
Eric
it
Gordon,
is, man.
Yeah. Eric Gordon said, you know, it's one of those situations where he knows James personally. He knows James didn't mean anything about it. He wanted out. He said he wanted out multiple times. And this is the route that he took to get what he wanted. It's not personal. It's just business.
We're talking about a man that turned down $50 million a year. He wants out.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if he lived in a crack. Like, it'd be one thing if he didn't live in Houston. Like, Houston is the mecca for James Harden. He's surely better than Brooklyn for James Harden. Like, for what James Harden like. Like, so this is clearly, he was about to, he was open to go to the Suns, the Trail. Like, this man just wanted a chance. Like, that was very, very evident and very clear. So, like, I don't understand what the complaints are about. Like, yeah, Richard acting like James Harden would have followed protocols. If he was going to camp, he still was going to go out and party in the club. You mean to tell me that you think Houston's going to be wide open and James Harden not going to go party? That was crazy. Of course he's going to. Like, this was all silly to me. Only thing that I'm, like, upset about is the return of Houston guy. I don't know why you don't take Ben Simmons and Maxey. If that deal was on the table, that's a much better deal. I can't understand why you opt into Oladipo instead of that. Maybe it's the picks, but those picks aren't going to be worth anything. So I really don't understand what the big fuss is about Harden. I think he handled it well. Like, granted, he did have control, so he's the one that didn't get himself help. They went and got everybody that he wanted him to go get, but everybody's not LeBron. Like, he's not a GM. He shouldn't have to have full control. You should have more organizational stability. Like, Golden State would never do that. Miami would never do that. But their stars don't complain. Stars don't want to have full control if you give them the talent around them. Like, that's how it works. They started wanting control when you don't have anything and they're the only piece, so you have to give them control to get them happy. When you have a good organization around them, that never happens.
So, talking about the James Harden situation, the organization, I think you shared the rumors. Like, some of those things were – that it was wild. Like, adjusting practice schedules around his partying time, basically, when they were in basically strip club cities. And we've already noted that there's a legitimate correlation between James Harden's performances and the cities that he go to and the strip clubs in those cities. So if the strip club is trash, he plays really well. If the strip club's not trash, he's having an off night. Like, it's legitimate. Somebody on Reddit did a legitimate study on it and proved the data. So how is he going to adjust to having basically
He doesn't need
full?
To adjust, though. Like, he's still playing good at home. Harden don't need to. He don't need to adjust. Like, you can have off nights. Like, in the he didn't have any great strip clubs, so he's played like trash and against the Hawks and against the Heat. Like, and maybe when he go back home to Houston, that's 6 games a year. We still are talking about a dude that was averaging 35, including the bad games at the strip club spots. Like, he don't need to adjust, like, the way James Harden comes to play. He's a walking bucket. He can be out of shape. The James Harden will go right now and average 30 if he wanted to. He just won't try to play in Houston because he wanted to get traded. So you can't go out there and drop 40 and put the team on your back and I'm like, we're not going to trade you. So, like, he had to do that. But I've seen him fat and bald before. Like, James Harden won't be the issue in this situation, in my opinion. He will not be the issue. Like, James Harden as your second best scorer, all he needs to do is score. That's all you want him to do?
So I'm just worried about the personalities, man. So you know how everybody has like their complaints. I don't have a complaint about the team makeup at all, you know. And I saw people every time you get high scorers on the same team, everybody's like, who's gonna get the ball? There's not enough balls to go around. James Harden passes, man. Like that's irrelevant, bro. Even KD has started to pass more and get people involved and be more offensively aware of the people around him. And Kyrie has also developed a better passing game. Like I just read his stats out. You know, they're not ball hogs, man. They're not just chucking shots and things like that. So I'm not even worried about that. What I'm worried about is who's gonna be the leader, bro? Like who's gonna be the person that's like when things get tight or if there's issues, who's gonna be the voice in the line? They don't have a like, even if they just got a veteran presence that was, like, somebody that don't even play, just somebody that can, grab hold and rally the troops. Like, KD's not really that type of person. James Harden isn't really that type of person. And we already know how Kyrie is. Like, so who's the guy?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. And that's my thing. It's not the issues. I don't think there's going to be Kyrie's personality.
Yeah.
But Harden and Durant, no, I don't think so at all. Like, Harden got along with Westbrook last year. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
But, like, they got into a groove where it started clicking, and Westbrook was shooting 24 shots a game. And he had one of the best seasons of his career. Like, so it's clearly Harden's capable. They just weren't good enough, and they collapsed in the postseason like they always do. But we do know that KD will perform in the postseason. Harden doesn't have to worry about going 9-for-22 and, like, his team losing. You go 9-for-22, and that's all KD needs to get through some of the heat. So, like, I don't think that that's a legitimate concern for real, bro. I think that what you said about the leadership, what happens, because the regular season is a ball, but what happens when the game slows down in the playoffs and it's game six and it's tight and you're not getting buckets in transition and you need to score in a half-court set? Who gets the ball? Who gets the spacing? What's the play call? Can Nash actually establish an offense? I don't have any confidence for Nash to establish an offense with these guys. These guys are on Golden State. If we guys had Steve Kerr or Spoelstra or Nick Nurse, like, I wouldn't be worried at all. But Nash, I'm a little concerned. So, like, and who's the leader? Like you said, like, these guys are all what I refer to as higher the faster. There's a culture that happens when you let these guys lead the culture. Like, KD in Oklahoma City, there was a babying culture. The media couldn't talk to them. There was a very defined culture that changed with Westbrook. Westbrook made it more like a you better be on time militant culture. Harden, they literally were skipping games the next day. skipping practices the next day because he wanted to stay an extra night. Like, we already seen that culture. And left today, you can't let him money. And Kyrie, we don't even need to talk about every team he's ever been on. They get better when you leave. So, like, who establishes the culture there? Like, Is it Nash? Is it Sean Marks? Like, who was building the Brooklyn culture? And you saw that in the first 10 games. Like, KD and Kyrie were both getting off, but they didn't play any defense because they don't have no culture. They don't have no accountability. They don't have a leader to set the tone and to truly make the teammates buy into a system. Now, I don't trust Nash to do it, and I don't trust D'Antoni to do it, and I don't trust Harden to do it, and I don't trust KD to do it, and I don't trust Kyrie.
So the thing about the Nets defense, too, it's funny. Like, I look at a lot of the gambling websites and stuff like that, and people are talking about the defense. But when I watch the games, it's not the stars. It's the people that nobody talks about that's playing defense. Which, I mean, if you could get by on that, that's great. But they had a really good rim protector in Jared Allen. They don't have him anymore. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Jordan is stuck in the mud. It's going to change some things, man. Like, it ain't going to be – you don't have that safety valve, man. When you got somebody as athletic as Jared Allen covering the paint, like, just his length in general deters people from attacking you. We've talked about Kevin Hart.
Perimeter defense of Joe Harris, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden is all-time bad. It is. And Harden's not even that bad of a defender anymore, but he's a really bad perimeter defender. He can do some switches in the post and things of that nature. And KD coming off that Achilles injury is not the defender he was in Golden State, where he's like going to make all-team defense. He's not switching. He's not doing some of the same things. Like, people think that the fall is going to come on offense, and it's not. It's the versatility on defense. That's the real fall for him. He's just not really been that much of a plus defender this year.
Yeah, one of the things about Harden's defense, too, is he likes to take risks. He's very into playing passing lanes and things like that, and communication has got to be there. So expectations, reasonable expectations for the team. Every time we get super teams, I don't expect them to win anything the first year. I don't. But how long are you giving this team?
I don't know, man. I don't think you can just put together three ball dominant people and expect to win a ship. Like, it's not 2K. Like, it's a good move. They had to make the move. I think it is a failure if they don't get out the East this year. I think that's a colossal failure. Like, there's not a team in the East. Like, the 76ers or the Celtics. Like,
yeah.
Those teams got worse. Like, I mean, the Bucks, like, there is no team in the East. So if they don't get out the East, I think that's a colossal failure. So that's my expectations, the NBA Finals. But I definitely don't think that they're a better constructed team or a better team than the Lakers right now. I mean, obviously, I need to see it, but that depth's an issue. They only have four guys. Like, DeAndre Jordan's not good. He shouldn't have been starting. He shouldn't be getting more than 20 minutes a game. Like, they only have four guys, in my opinion, right now. I mean, they have guys that, like, maybe back in rotation guys like Shamit and Tyler Johnson and Torian Prince and Jeff.
Torian
like
Prince is gone.
Oh, sorry, Jeff Green. Cabarro. Like, these are guys that like all other teams passed on four times, and they're just there. So I think Dinwiddie not being there is really a big blow. That's where I'm at with it, man. I just don't see those three. They don't have complementary pieces. Like, Kyrie and KD and Harden can all shoot, but to be their best, they need the ball. So unless I see something dramatically different in this offense, and Harden used to play like this. Like, Harden used to play dribble handoffs. Like, he's very good in the pick and roll and passing. Like, it's possible, like, a KD Harden pick and roll is lethal, but combined and not complementary with the defense, and I just don't see how they win at all. I don't have them better than the Lakers or the Clippers, but I think it's a colossal failure if they don't get out of the East, assuming Kyrie comes back.
Yeah, and my thing is that at this point in his career, DeAndre Jordan is basically Kendrick Perkins. Like, he's just the body. He can't move his feet. If he goes up against, like, at this point, the Nets definitely need to be thinking bigger picture. So even if he can't guard Giannis, you know, he can't guard AD, he can't guard Embiid. Like, so they're going to have issues at that spot. And then the depth, man. Like, that was one of the things that I really liked about this team prior to the, like, season starting. And I used to talk about it a lot in private, you know, like, how deep this team was. Like, they had their seventh man could score 20-plus a night. You know, they don't have that anymore. And so that is an issue. And like you said, not everybody's built to be a GM. This would be a team that LeBron and you know, people can say what they want to say about it, but he would go out and find these fringe vets who can contribute, who can do the little things, or these guys who have specialties. Like, this guy is good at defense. This guy is good at hitting threes. This guy's just good at being a enforcer, you know, and he to this day still actually does that pretty well, even in LA. But he would find these guys, they would sign for some pretty friendly deals, and they would get to work. I don't know if KD, even if he had the GM prowess, I don't know if he's got that personality to really motivate you to want to play with him, especially if things ain't going his way. So I know Nash, we personally give Nash a lot of crap, even though we haven't really given him a fair chance to show what he can do. But I just don't see it in his personality, man. Like, I don't know how this is going to work. But I will be tuned in because I'm pretty sure we will get plenty of soundbites.
It's going to work because KD will win you 50 games dolo. James Harden will win you 50 games dolo. It's going to work because it's KD and James Harden. Like, people that think that this is going to be some colossal failure and they're going to fall on their face in the regular season, they are going to start destroying teams and beating them by 30, 45. It's going to be laughable, and everyone's going to go, oh, I hate the NBA. It's the Warriors all over again. You're going to see the fall during the playoffs when games get a little tighter and they have to play a team with chemistry. But they are going to destroy people. They're going to have times where KD sits on back-to-back and James Harden just drops 60 and beats teams single-handedly. Like, it's going to get ugly. But I do think that in the playoffs, it will look different once they play a team that's close to the same level of talent and put in the fact that you're probably going to have games closer together because of the COVID situation, staying in the same place, like all that sort of deal. Like, that bench is so bad. Like, you can stagger it. That'll be smart. You can stagger it, but that bench is so bad. There's going to be some things.
Yeah, he'll have to work on the rotation for sure. Is there anybody else in this trade that you think might contribute? Like, what do the Cavs do? We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but the Cavs have Drummond and Jared Allen. What's up with that? What are they gonna do? They can't have them both at the same time.
And Kevin Love.
Yeah, and Kevin Love, who doesn't really play, but he's gonna come back at some point, you assume.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
They just collect the assets, man. I don't know what they did. I guess they'll figure it out. I mean, I don't know. The Hawks got Clint Capella and John Collins. I don't know what these teams are doing, man. They just collect assets. They think that they can flip Jared Allen, so they're like, if we can get in here, why would you get in here? If you like somebody, you get somebody, I suppose.
Dante Exum, what happened to him? I thought he was going to have a contributor career, at least. He hasn't done anything.
Why do you think that? Why do you think a guard from Australia was going to hoop? Like, just a normal guard. Not a 7-foot one.
Not a Ben Simmons. But, yeah, I don't know. I was just hopeful. But I look forward to seeing LeVert in a starting role out in Indy and seeing how.
I just want to see how he does, man. I like Karis, but I didn't like what I saw from Karis I only like Karis when KD and Kyrie are out, man. Like, I don't know how he fits there. That man, that ball sticks to that boy. He's clearly talented, but that ball sticks to that boy. And that's not how Indy rocks. That's not how it's been working.
So maybe they can change it because they have an established culture. He ain't gonna go up there and just act the way he want to act. So, let's see. What else did we touched on? Oh. The new COVID protocols, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. So I got to say, in my mind right now, the NBA, their season has been a colossal failure as far as COVID is related. Because that one game where it was the 76ers, I think, my man Seth Curry touched everybody. They played the game. They quarantined the 76ers players, but then they allowed the Celtics to play. They traveled and played two more teams before they were like, oh, wait a minute. And then they started sitting people. But by then, everybody's, like, affected. It was, like, four or five teams that were infected.
Yeah.
And so they got to sit, like, cancel games and things like that. So, obviously, it's not as detrimental to their schedule as, say, like, the NFL and stuff like that. But
yeah.
It's just one of those things that where it was you could see how it was affecting teams in the schedule. So they had to make new protocols. The new protocols prohibit non-team guests in hotel rooms and require them to wear masks while on the bench, which they were doing in the bubble. But for some reason, outside the bubble, I guess people thought it was okay. So we already know what non-team guests means. and how that's going to affect some people. But I saw a quote from George Hill was like, they can't tell me I can't see my family. If it's like that, then we don't need to play. I didn't interpret the rules as that strict, but how do you think this is? Yeah. how do you think this is going to play out? Because the NBA Players Association is definitely going to have to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NBA was just too lax, right? Like, they're the ones that are coming off the bubble for the longest, so they tried to, like, not put restrictions on players, basically. Like, just don't club and don't go to dinner. Like, and I get that. Like, coming out of the bubble, you have to try to see. You have to show them, like, you have to let them see that, hey, the season just will get canceled, and we will all be out of checks if we don't make a change. You can't just come in with strikes, because they're not going to win. So, I mean, I understand it. I guess the thing I'm interested in is what happens in the playoffs. Are they going to do a bubble for the playoffs, and they just not figure that out? Do you think COVID will be gone by June? Like, where are we at with that? That would be what I'm most interested in hearing about. Because they're going to play the regular season. They'll figure it out. It's not. They'll just figure it out. They'll go to 50 games if they have to, but they'll figure it out.
So, I'm not sure what their plan is, but, I mean, when they rolled out the bubble, it was revolutionary considering all the dumb things that everybody else was doing. So I would imagine that they would figure out a way to preserve it. I do hate the non-fan experience, man, because some of these arenas do, like Oracle or where the Warriors play now. Like it's jumping when they were live with Steph and them, you know. Yeah. It's a totally different atmosphere, man. Like I'm watching the Rockets and Spurs right now, and it's no real difference because as Chuck says, San Antonio is boring. But like imagine what Brooklyn would be like with fans, like who would come to the games and things like that. Like it would be live, man. We've got some pretty exciting teams that a lot of people didn't expect to be balling this year. And it's just unfortunate, but I don't know what they're gonna do. I just know that when players start complaining about not being able to see their families and stuff, I feel like the Players Association is gonna be knocking on the door here sooner or later. And we know about the drama last year behind the scenes in the bubble, where people were essentially like ready to just cancel it altogether. I wonder if we'll get something like that this year, which. Technically, I don't know if that's even a feasible issue because we've got vaccines out here. I would imagine that at some point the players would be open to getting them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure LeBron already took one, but I know, yeah, at some point the vaccines, I think, is what they're banking on, I would assume.
Yeah. So let's go over your hottest team right now that's not the most obvious, Lakers. Who is a team that you didn't expect to start out real well, but they're really playing good ball?
I guess the Knicks would be the closest thing, or something like I truly didn't expect, I think, would probably be who I'd say. I didn't expect the Knicks, and they've come back down to earth. But I guess the 76ers is who I'll say the most. I expected them to be good, but I didn't expect them to come out like this. I thought it would take some time to gel, but people got to respect Doc, man. Doc doesn't get credit for just establishing a culture. Like, he's a player's coach. He gets players to play hard, and he gets players to like him. And, yes, we can look at playoff failures. We can look at all that, but we can never say that a Doc team, like, we may say they didn't live up to expectations, but rarely do we say that they just didn't perform in the regular season and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Playoffs, he's not great at X and O's. He's not great at adjusting. I wouldn't want him to play all series without, like, Tibbs or some really good assistant. But, like, a Doc team is going to play hard. They're going to win 50-plus games, and they're going to be in the top three seeds. Like, that's just how he does with talent. And you can see that with the 76ers. The fact that the 76ers were sixth seed last year is just absurd.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to a team that's near and dear to me, because it's my second home, Charlotte.
Oh,
Mello,
yeah.
Man.
Mello, boy.
Like, I'm impressed. And I've given his nutcase dad plenty of praise for what he's accomplished with his kids. Obviously, doesn't need my praise, but I'm just saying, I don't think I was ever critical of him as a father, just more of him just being the constant mouthpiece. But LaMelo lived up to the hype in my mind over the 12, 13 games that I've seen him play. Clear night and day when he's on the court. And I would assume that at some point they're going to start him probably within the next month. I mean, it's the only reason why Graham probably starts in my mind is because he's a more confident scorer. I think LaMelo is going to develop his scoring ability or confidence in scoring, but his vision is incredible for as young as he is. He's definitely athletic enough. He's long enough. And one of the more underrated things is his activity on defense is really good too. Like he's at least trying to cover a lot of the big guys. And what I see when I watch him play is a lot of times he's covering ground for people who are out of position just because he's just aware of what's going on. And then I also like the fact that he understands that, you know, I don't need to be jumping with Jared Collins if I could just smack the ball out of his hand before he goes up. And he's developed some pretty good some quick hands while he's in the post and everything. So not trying to like call him the next world beater, but I feel like if there was one bright spot out of this year's draft, the Hornets might have got it right. They might have got it right. Gordon Hayward, not.
Yeah, he's been so bad at shooting though recently. Yeah. So like, I get why he's not starting. Right, you want the energy off the bench. Like he closes out. I think a 6-man spot's good for him this year. They just can't keep him off the court. I think they were planning on playing him about 20, 25 minutes a game, playing in their 30s, just because you can't keep him off the court. Like you said, the team looks different. The team looks energized. They all love him. Like, I don't know why he got this, I guess because of LeVar, why he got this reputation of this little, okay, he's shooting from half court and stuff when he's 15.
Yeah.
Why he got this reputation of this just punk kid, but like, teammates love him. You can tell he's beloved by, like, the NBA stars. Like, even Ron roots for him, and he clearly doesn't really like that family. Like, you can just tell, like, that, like, the NBA, like, the stars, and they mess with him. Like, the guys that are good, like, respect him. He's a respectful dude. So, I don't know. I don't know where he got this bad teammate label from and things like that. But you can see with that team, they love the kid, like, for sure, without question. They're not jealous that he's getting attention or anything like that. But I don't get it. Even Graham and Rozier, right? Like, Rozier, that's supposed to be his team. Like, you don't see that from them guys.
Yeah, and to LaMelo's credit, he so far has handled it in stride. You know, he's not out here saying crazy things or acting crazy. He's just putting his head down and working. So it's definitely a good thing. I really wish that they – I just don't like Gordon Hayward. But other than that, it's looking good, man. And PJ Washington hustles down there, and he's not the biggest, but like the energy of the team is really good in the games that I've watched. Who is your trending down team right now? Like the team that's like, what happened? You had higher expectations.
Brooklyn before that trade, like, what's up? Like, KD started to do it by himself when Kyrie left, but, like, before Kyrie left, they were 4-6. Like, Brooklyn's been bad, but another team that's been a colossal disappointment, I've never believed in this team, is the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Like, I told people, man. Like, everyone, I think we had this in the pregame. Everybody's like, oh, Jamal Murray, bubble breakout star. And I think I told you he's going to be the one that's going to disappoint and can't live up to the hype. Because Jamal Murray's who Jamal Murray is. Like, he will have good stretches, and he will look like, why isn't Monte Morris starting over him a little bit later? Like, that's just who he is. Like, he is a fringe all-star guy. When he's hot, he's hot. When he's not, he's not. He probably, in complete honesty, works like the best that he is in a six-man role, like just being a flamethrower, being like Lou Williams in his prime on steroids. That's probably the best role for Jamal Murray. But if he is your number two guy, and I said this, and their collapse as a line with Michael Porter Jr. being out, if Michael Porter Jr. is not their best scorer, and their second best player, that team has no chance to do anything or make any noise. So Jamal Murray cannot provide that consistency that you need. You just can't.
Yeah, so we did talk about that. And I'm not going to lie. It was more curiosity. I hadn't claimed them to be anything. I know a lot of people had, but you did caution about jumping the gun on him. And I honestly didn't know that his season starts so terrible, man. Like, it's really bad. And it's not just the points per game, which is obviously down like almost 10 points outside the bubble. It's the shooting percentages are really bad, and he just lacks confidence when he can't get going early. And I had asked you that question, like, as an organization, like, what do you do? Do you build around Jokic and Porter, or do you build around Murray and Jokic? And you did say Porter's got to be the second player. So it'll be interesting to see the Porter effect when he comes back, because he's been out for a while. But they're 5-6 right now. They're ninth, which, again, the season's really young. But I'm saying if he comes back and they end up being like a fourth or a third or fourth seed within 30 days, it's probably going to be time for them to really go ahead and make that hard conversation with Jamal Murray. Like, look, bro, we can get anybody else to do this. And one thing about the Nuggets, too, that people don't give them enough credit for, their bench is actually pretty solid. They got some solid contributors all across the board. So it's really just – which is weird. You don't really say this a lot about teams, but it's really the starters that need to pick their game up. Typically, we talk about it in the other way. Like, it's like the stars are doing great, but they need more from the bench. The bench is fine in Denver. It's the freaking starters. They got to give them more. And it's not Jokic. The guy's doing everything. But it's like Porter and Murray, like the people that they – considered to be stars or looking to be stars or compliments to Jokic need to do better and step up. So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you there. And then, of course, at the end of the show, I gotta hit you with some questions. Why your man stay hurt? Why he gonna get Scott Brooks fired twice? Has anybody ever done that? Got a coach fired twice?
Shut up, man. That man heard he old. What you want from him? He old, quick season turnaround. Man, he never got him healthy from last. Come on, man. You know that man hurt. Come on.
My friend said, he texts me every day about the Wizards, and he was like, look, I know you hate Russell Westbrook. He's like, but really, Russell's doing everything he can to keep Scott Brooks as the coach. I was like, what do you mean? And he said that the Wizards told Scott Brooks he had 15 games to get his shit together or he was gone. And Russell Westbrook has stayed hurt. Now they got COVID issues, so they can't play. So he's just prolonging the season for Scott Brooks. That was his theory. I said, well, isn't he a saint? He really about to get this man fired twice. When Scott Brooks, when you get that alert,
he didn't get
Scott
that man
Brooks
fired.
Has been
did
fired.
You see,
are
did
you
kidding have
me?
Have you seen that team play? That ain't on Westbrook. You see them? That's why I let Scott Brooks get them to play some defense. They're a defensive coach. Why they giving him up 130 points a game?
He getting them fired. He getting them fired because he needs him on the court to at least be close enough to try to win. They can't win without Westbrook on the court, man.
I'm just saying they need to play some defense. That ain't on Westbrook. I mean, he a bad defender, but that's not, you know what I mean.
I have been waiting to see the alert that the Warriors somehow traded for Bradley Beal. I just feel like he's just sitting there to be traded to somebody, man.
Bradley's not going nowhere. Tedley is so
they gonna
stubborn.
Find a winner.
Not, they don't care. They don't care. They won't trade. They won't. They will not. Especially not. Leonis is not too far from Snyder. Like, they paying Westbrook all that money. They're not trading.
Oh,
no. They're just not doing it.
So, Scott Brooks, man. Days are number. I don't even understand. I wonder what his reaction was when he got Westbrook again. I know he couldn't have been excited. Like, this guy again.
Yo, Ish Smith was his starting point guard. What you think his reaction was?
Why does he shoot like that? Why does he? Has he always shot like that?
Hurt. Listen. What Westbrook does do is he helps the coach because he establishes a culture.
No, I'm talking about Ish. Like Ish shoots like my 3-year-old.
That's your man.
I will admit that I had never seen him shoot a jump shot. I'd only seen him attack the basket. So I figured that was his game. But I was watching the game the other day, and he took a jump shot, and I was like, "What was that?"
Yeah,
and everybody was so casual about it, like, "Oh, this Ish, taking a three, just barely missing. I'm looking like, no, like, rewind that back, time out. That's how you shoot. I'm not a basketball player, but off the form alone, the look alone, like, that shot will never go in. Never.
It's
so,
definitely shoot like a lost ball, brother.
Golly, man. So, before we end
we're
the
not
show,
gonna talk to, I got questions for you.
Like, go ahead.
Who the best player on the Trailblazers?
The best player is Dame Dolla, bro. Stop with this nonsense, man. If C.J. McCollum, all that C.J. McCollum does that Dame doesn't do outside of scoring is only possible because Dame is doing everything else with the scoring. So if Dame getting 62, C.J. going to have 42, 6, and 7. So that's good for him.
Yeah, but
don't ever get it twisted about who the best player is on that team, man.
But we're not going to talk about efficiency?
Dame
Lillard shoots 44% from the field.
Westbrook fans cannot talk to me about
I'm just talking about who better. CJ averaged 28 points a game, and CJ shooting 47% from the field and 44% from three. Dame,
my man, Dame
averaged 27 points a game and shooting 44. CJ shoot from three. What Dame shoot from the field?
He started the season slow. I know you remember
the
game.
Started cold. That's what he normally shoots. That's what he shoots for his career. 44%.
Yeah,
all right. That's what he is. I'm all just right, saying so, CJ's team, and that's why you've seen CJ, the furthest they ever got in the playoffs is when CJ bailed him out and won that game against the Nets. You know what time it is. Give CJ the rock. CJ not always going to CJ.
This is slander. Slander.
Watch a game.
The Blazers would have been fine if LaMarcus Aldridge wasn't such a punk.
I ain't going to tell you, man. Let me let you in on a little secret. You're going to bust your ass in the head-to-head again today. I'd run with Mary Wayne. Click on
TV. All right, you talking. Wait, who's your last three people?
CJ, Jokic, and I think Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah, you in some trouble.
Damn, man. How do you get CJ?
Yo, be nice.
And last night it was Save Me Melo. Now it's Save Me Terry Rozier. He got 35 though.
Hey, look though.
I got Jokic, Gary Trent Jr. And Steph Curry, nigga. What's up?
Oh, nah, Steph might get me. Nah, you might get me.
I'm not coming into this fight with bench players, like two bench players like I did last time. And you know as well, I was doing my lineup trying to think like who is he gonna have, and I was like, man, I gotta put this dude LaMelo in here, yo, because I know he gonna have LaMelo. And then I was like, man, I can't put LaMelo and then get all these other people in. So I was like back and forth. But I wanted
LaMelo, but I couldn't put LaMelo in a head-to-head because he might mess around now and give me like 15 points like he did last night.
Yeah, I was like, it's the first back-to-back too, bro. Like, you really gonna trust this kid? Like,
had I known Hayward was not, I'd have done it though.
Yeah, but we're gonna see how it go, man. I never cheered for this light-skinned Bama that hard, but I'm gonna have to cheer for Steph Curry tonight, man. He gonna have to carry.
What do you think about the Warriors though? We didn't talk about them.
So, yeah, we haven't talked about the Warriors. Honestly, man, I just think they're just doing enough to try to maintain until they can either figure out who they can trade for or, if Klay can come back. I think Klay's going to try to come back if he can, for real. But I'm not too impressed with the effort of the team night in, night out. That's what's missing for me. It's like a lot of times when you see people who have lived that championship run, and then you add people to the mix that ain't really been a part of it, but because they're on the team, they feel like they have been, and it's just kind of lazy, man. Like Wiggins has picked it up over the last couple games, mm-hmm. and I always pay attention.
Wiggins
to
playing defense too, man.
Yeah,
if he steps it up.
And Oubre's finally hitting his shot a little. Like, they can compete for sure. It's just it's just a matter of them getting the rotation down as well. That's another team that's got some rotational issues because it just can't be understated how much that bench with Livingston and those guys really propelled that team to be as great as they were when they were making their championship runs. Like, even before KD got there, it was the second unit, man. They would hold the fort down, sometimes giving extra minutes of rest to the starters because they were just that good. They were rolling. Iggy, Livingston, and even my man Mo Spates came into the mix at one point, you know, as a contributor. So I like to see them get that back. I like the who's the dude they got from Georgetown? Was it Pascal? Is his name?
Some guys that are straight, like Pascal straight. Chris will be straight if he's in. That guard play, though.
Yeah.
Leave from to be desired. They got that sorry dude from Boston. He's so bad. Winnemaker or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That dude is terrible. He is terrible. Then they got Damian Lee. I think that's Steph Curry's like brother-in-law that they just keep giving contracts to. There's a lot going on that bench that's not good, bro. But if you have a starting lineup of Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Wiseman, Oubre, the sixth man. Now you're talking about something that's bad.
Yeah. Didn't they pick up that one foreign dude, Israeli or something like that? Like put him on their G team or something?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
How's he doing?
We'll see what's up with that. I don't think he's gotten in. But they got some assets still, so they can play with some stuff. So we'll see. And I like what I saw from them. People left them for dead. Y'all got to put some respect on Steph's name. Y'all do.
Hey.
Y'all really do. The way y'all try to treat that man is crazy.
Look, my only issue was that my man really was out here celebrating a 60-point game like he dropped 100 like he was Wilt or something. Like, it just annoyed me. Like,
he made
the subliminal Facebook post.
No. Y'all not going to keep the same energy. When they went 0-2 and got blown out in back-to-back games, it was Steph Walsh. Look what he do on his own.
I told y'all
he won't nut without Clay or KD. Now,
I didn't say all that.
But that's what most people said on the internet. Like, look what he did on his own. He ain't nothing without KD, and he ain't nothing without Clay. He ain't no splash without the brothers. Like, that's what everybody said. So he reads the stuff. He on social media. You see him tweet. You see all the tweets. You see all 24/7 news. Everybody acting like everything he had, everything he's accomplished in his career is invalid, and he's incapable of taking a team to a playoff by himself. So yeah, he dropped 62 the night after all that talk. It ain't like that man went back and like held a press conference. They asked him about it. He said, "I took that personally, Michael Jordan meme, and kept it pushing, kept it playing."
So while everybody was trashing Steph, I was over here trashing Luka, and he was out of shape. But now Porzingis is back. I'm really a Mavericks fan, for real. I've always been a Mavericks fan, so I just want everybody to know that.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, Luka played himself into shape. It was kind of a Luka got some black people tendency, man. He really came in and played himself into shape. That's wild.
He's James Harden.
In year three.
He's literally a European James Harden, man. Like, everything about this kid tells me that that's exactly who he's gonna be. I just need him to hit the strip clubs, man, and he would be James Harden. Like, my man came in out of shape. His girlfriend's a fitness model, and he still was out of shape. And then getting buckets, but out of shape. And once he got in shape, he was really getting buckets. And then you get my boy Porzingis back, man. Porzingis, his first shot in a year, corner three, buckets, bro. Porzingis, nice, man. Knicks are dumbest organization ever. Oh, speaking of dumb organization.
They got Dennis Smith Jr. for him. Let's just not forget that.
Before we go, can I just say this? Because I want to say this every show. The Pelicans are the stupidest organization in basketball, bro. In basketball. The worst organization in basketball. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Free my man Zion, man. Just go ahead. Go to a big market team, bro. Don't be AD. Don't re-sign with these people when your contract up, bro. Don't even give them a chance, yo. Leave now, bro. If Ingram want to stay there and make that his legacy, by all means, you wish him luck. You go. Leave, bro. Don't you re-sign with them dudes, bro. can't stand that team, man.
They just got to tank and go get Cade Cunningham. They just got to build a monster around. Get Lonzo out of here. Get Bledsoe. Why do they have Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams on the team? And JJ.
I have no
idea.
I
don't understand. Why are these old washed dudes on the squad? Like, they need
why
to be
they
running up and down. Like,
this man's minutes. He's not even old enough to drink. Why is he getting 32 minutes? And you're like, well, we got to monitor his minutes. What? LeBron is 38 and still playing 36, 37 minutes a night on back-to-backs, bro. Oh, my God. It drives me crazy. Like, do you want the boy to be a star or not? Because if you want him to be a star.
And why would you hire Stan Van Gundy with that roster? That roster clearly needs to be playing very fast. They need to be up and down, playing extremely fast. Like, that has to be a young, energetic, upbeat coach who has been playing fast and playing hard. Like, why can't people get coaching hired? Like, it's not that hard.
Cass was like, oh, look, they playing better defense. Oh, look, they ain't scoring enough points, man. What are you talking about? My man JJ Redick is not
a defense
because
they just play slower. It ain't better. It's just less possessions. That don't make it better.
Even the Spurs are playing faster. Like, what are we doing with our lives, bro?
Like, how you gonna make Zion play in the half court? Zion and Lonzo and Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Ingram and you playing half court?
Yeah. How? Lonzo, man. I'm not even gonna start.
None of those dudes can play in the half court.
Like where his pedigree, where he's from, like from college all the way through. Like if you watch any of his college games, why would you slow him down? Why would you ever slow him down? He's basically irrelevant when the offense is slow. It takes away all of his skill set when you run a half court offense with him. Like everything.
Yeah. And it
like
takes away
just,
the best part of Zion's game.
Yeah, it's just stupid. Like, they're not.
And they have no
like,
shooters. How you give Zion no spacing? What are you doing? You have the black backcourt of Eric Bledsoe and Lonzo?
But yeah, like I said, Pelicans, man. People listen to the show.
They got a bunch of picks. They got like 8 first rounders, so hopefully one of them works out because that team's trash.
Yeah, all right. We're going to see. They still giving heart. Key minutes, my man. I just can't, man. But yeah, Zion, listen to me, bro. Leave and Ja, when you get healthy, Ja, I'm gonna tell you.
No, we're not gonna do that.
Nope.
No, we're not gonna do that. Memphis not doing Ja back. We're not gonna do that. Ja was second overall pick, and he made the playoffs in his first year, and they put him some stuff. We're not gonna do that. They not making bad decisions. Don't do that.
Brooks is still his best option. Leave.
It's his second year, my G. That ain't on him.
They got Jaren Jackson.
They got Brandon Clark. They have good young pieces around him. I'm not mad at Memphis because they have good young pieces around him on his same trajectory that you can then trade and get veterans when it's time to make the next leap because they're all in the same time. Brooks, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson, Ja, they're all like the same age. So that works. What does not work is having a guy like Lonzo, who you're not going to resign, an old geezer like Eric Bledsoe, and Steven Adams and JJ Redick. You can never trade them for nothing, and you're not bad enough to get good picks.
Yo, man. My man JJ just need to retire, bro. Like, I don't understand what's going on with him. I looked at his stat line. My man was averaging like 3 points in his last like 4 games. I was like, dude, you just getting cardio at this point.
I like his podcast. I guess he's just playing in the league to keep his podcast relevant because I like his podcast.
I heard his podcast is legit.
I like it. It's much better than whatever he's doing on the floor.
That's crazy. But all right, I'll hold off on Ja. I'll hold off on Ja. Trey, you can stay. Luca, you can stay. Zion, bro, if you listening, I'm gonna put it out in the universe. Especially next
Stop
month.
Doing it,
Black History Month, bro. You are free. Leave. You have a choice. You don't have to deal with this. You really don't. When the contract is up, Don't even give them any hope, bro. Don't flirt with no extensions. Do like James Harden. Tell them no. 50 mil, no. No. Leave. Thank you. Like, somewhere in L.A., AD is looking at this man right now, and like, I know your pain. I know your pain. But, yo, bro, thanks for coming on, and I wish nothing but the worst for your team. And for some reason, my points are going down. I don't understand why, but I'm going to catch you. Gary Trent going to go for like 25, yo. I can feel it. It's a back-to-back, too. You took CJ on a back-to-back against the Pacers, man. Oh, you got Brogdon, too, though. Dang.
Yeah, because they don't play no defense on the back.
I know, man. Dang, man. Why did not do that? Hey. Anyway.
Oh, man, I'm all right, your team trash. That's fine. You be all right.
Hey, look, my team might be trash, but at least they active. You can't say nothing about your boy.
Nah, we're not talking about that yet.
All right, bro. Take care.
All right.
This has been the IBN NBA podcast for the week of January 14th. I'm your host, IBS Yeezus, and we will catch you guys probably in the next 2 weeks. We try to give it about 2 weeks in between podcasts. So we'll catch you guys within the next 2 weeks.